to start by just letting you know, thank you. I know a ton of you guys helped make last week successful. We had a great week last week. It was amazing. Friday night, we had Saturday egg hunt. Sunday, we had all things happening. So it would not have been possible without you guys, without you volunteering, without you bringing candy, without you stuffing eggs for us. I mean, it was incredible. So we just want to thank you so much for allowing us to do that and being a part of that and supporting that. And then it was just awesome. It was a great weekend. So thank you. But now that Easter's over, we're going back to where we was at. We're in James. And so if you're new to Brighton, what we like to do at Brighton is we pray and we fast about where the Lord wants us to go and in the Bible. And we pick a book and we just kind of walk through that book. And we've been in James. And James is like hard punching. Like it is just, it's in your face. He's just boom, 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 boom. I mean, one thing after another. He doesn't even take a breath, it seems like, and he hits you with something else, right? Last time we were in James, we talked about a big one, and it's faith without works is dead. And it's a big one. People like to make a big shadoo about it. But what it boiled down to, what James was really getting across there, was if you allow the gospel to touch your heart, if you've been changed by Jesus Christ, there should be evidence in your life. Like if you've truly been changed by the Word of God, if you've truly been changed by Christ, then you're going to act different. You're going to talk different. You're going to respond different. And James is saying, if you don't, then I don't know if you've really been changed by the gospel. And so really that theme is kind of throughout the whole book of James. And the whole book of James, you kind of equate it to the theme of he wants you to get better every day. Like you should have a growth mentality inside of you that says every day I want to get a little bit better, right? Every day I want to grow. This past week, I was at the gym. It was a Tuesday. And so I'm working out. And our friend House, he's here today. He's in there. And he can throw weight around like nobody's business, right? And he's throwing 500 pounds around like it's nothing. So who do you think I'm going to go ask for advice? This guy, right? And I want to get, why? Because I want to get better. I want to grow. And so why not ask somebody? And this is kind of the theme of James, is you should have this growth mentality inside of you to every day you wake up and say, I want to be a little bit better. I want to represent Christ a little bit better today. I want to grow today. And so he's going to teach us how to do that. And so in James chapter 3, we're going to learn a new way here of the small little thing that we have. Each one of us has a small little thing that has the capacity to wreck our whole life, okay? And you know what it is. So look at James 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. But if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. He gives a second analogy here. Though they are large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is small member, yet it boasts of great things. Verse 5 gives us a third analogy. How great a forest is set ablaze by such small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set it on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile, the sea creature can be tamed and also has been tamed by mankind. There's your fourth analogy. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord our Father. Look at verse 9. I love verse 9. It's so true, right? With it, we bless the Lord our Father, and with it, we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. Verse 10, for the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? There's your fifth analogy. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs. That's your sixth analogy. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. All right, so now, what's the small thing that causes all these problems, all these analogies talking about? The tongue, right? And so we're going to talk about your tongue this morning. I'm so glad you're here, right? And so let's start with the first point here. The tongue has incredible power. It's like the biggest super weapon you ever had. I don't know if you ever see the original Men in Black. But, I'm not promoting a movie. But in it, Will Smith wants a weapon. Right? He goes, I got to have a gun. Give me a gun. So the guy pulls out this little bitty, it's just a little bitty thing, right? And he hands it to Will Smith. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Right? And then he pulls the trigger and like knocks him like three doors down or something. And so it's just like this powerful weapon, right? Well, each one of us have this power weapon, but it doesn't come with warnings, right? It's turkey season. Maybe you're looking for a new shotgun for turkey season. You go on the website, you type in maybe Benelli, and go look at the shotguns, and you come to Benelli's site. Before you can go on the site, though, a big warning pops up and wants to know if you're over 18. Just to look at a shotgun, you got to be over 18. And so it comes with all these warnings, yet we don't come with a warning right here. But we should, because this is probably the most powerful thing you have available to you. And James compares it to in verse 3, like you would use to control a horse or a rudder that steers a ship. So both very small in themselves, but with the incredible ability to control this large, powerful body that they're attached to. James is saying that small part of your body, it determines the whole course of your life. Just think about that. For some of you, this has determined the whole course of your life. People often, they often form their opinions of you based on your words. Or they determine your intelligence based on your words. Please don't judge me by my words. I make some up sometimes. It's okay. I know that. You know that. We just accept it, right? But think about it. We draw a conclusion about what we think about somebody by their words. With your tongue, you draw people to you or you push them away. Think about in your own life. In your lone life, how have words changed who you are? Think about words like, I love you. That changes, right? I'm proud of you. That changes. What about words like, we want you? There's excitement there, right? Or what about words like, you're not very good? Or what about words like, you love this one? We're going in a different direction. Or what about words like, I want to break up with you? Think about how words have impacted you. The best relationships maybe in your life have come through words. Maybe your most estranged relationships have come through words. And so in verse 5, James compares tongue to a fire, massive, destructive fires. Think about our own world, all the fires that happen, in Colorado. And I know in Oklahoma, when it gets really dry, somebody throws a cigarette butt out the window, and then you've got hundreds of acres destroyed. You got livestock destroyed. You got people lose their lives all over a stupid little cigarette. And that's what James is saying. We have that same power inside of us. Just think about the destructions that came into your world through words. Think about how your life's been affected. Think about maybe some of the most painful times in your life. Chances are involved something that was said to you. I think one number one industries in our world today is therapy. I'm all for therapy. I know a lot of good Christian counselors, great, great people. But a lot of them have a job because of the words we choose to say to each other. If I ask you to recount the most painful time of your life, chances are it involved something that was said to you. Think about your own childhood. Don't you have memories in your own childhood? I have memories in my own childhood. of words that was said to me, painful words. I mean, kids are cool, but we're just as cruel as adults. Come home from work, had a long day, things didn't go right at work. We sling those one-liners at our spouses, don't we? And you know there's power behind that. Yet sometimes we still choose to sling it, don't we? Listen, this is important, and this is where we're going to grow in, is our words. And those of you with low self-esteem, maybe it was what your parents said, maybe it was what your friend said, or think about the pain you've caused in others' lives. So like a bit, like a rudder, like fire, that tongue contains power of life and death. And secondly, that tongue is nearly impossible to tame. In verse 7, James says, "For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, the sea creature can be tamed, has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue." I mean, there are some wild creatures out there being tamed, right? You always see the bear. The bear gets tamed. The lion gets tamed. It's their pet. It's a family. They grew up with the family, right? It's all fun and games, so he rips her arm off. But, you know, it's a pet, right? But there's some crazy pet. There's all kinds of strange pets. They all wear service vests now. Have you noticed that? I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it. I question some of them, right? All right, here's a few. I want to show you a few. I question a peacock flying. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't even know if they can fly. So on a real airplane, I don't know if that should be legit right there. But they got a pet peacock. Okay, what's the next one we got? What's our next animal here? Okay, you can't tell it because he's dressed up like a Mexican wrestler, but there's a pony down there in the bottom left on an airplane. Like, I don't know what weight limit is, but come on. If you need a pony to fly, probably shouldn't be flying is all I'm saying, all right? It's a pet, though. It's a pet. Look at this one. Very cute, but I don't know where you order a pet support animal vest that little, but, you know, it's cute, whatever, you know. All right, what's the next one we got? Okay, you got your monkey. They're pets, right? We can tame a monkey. Probably if we can teach it to drive if you want to. I don't know. What's our next one here? All right, this is a favorite, right? Pet snake. I mean, come on. Like, I don't understand again, but, you know, there's pet snakes. And I did find out recently, a little inside tip on Pastor Clayton, he is not a fan of snakes. Did not know that. After I put a snake in his disc golf bag, I found that out. So, if you ever want to get Pastor Clayton, snakes are the way to go. All right, what's the next one? Pigs. Pigs are great pets. They can't come around my house. I like bacon too much, but pigs are great pets, right? Take them flying with you. Why not? I'm like, do you got to buy an extra ticket for that? I don't know. All right, what's the next one? You know, why not? You know, it's a pet. I'm just saying, who's checking the name tag on that pet? That's all I'm saying. It's got a collar, and I don't know if you can see it, but it's got one of those, like, name tags you put on a dog. I'm like, I'm not going to check that collar. I'm just saying. I don't care what his name is, but we tame all kinds of things. And just for your curiosity, pets consistently ranked higher than dogs on the pets list. I don't know why, but cats are not even on the list because they're the devil. And so we'll just leave that one there. But the point is, sure enough, every kind of beast can be tamed, but no human being, with all of our positive thinking, all of our self-help techniques, can tame the tongue. It's unruly. It's evil, James says. James says, a world of unrighteousness empowered by the flames of hell itself. I mean, that thing in your mouth. It'd be easier to tame a spitting cobra than a tongue of yours, full of deadly poison, strikes in the most inopportune times. Think about how often you wish you could take something back you said. A lot of the fires in our lives are because something slipped out of a hateful comment, out of an outburst of anger, or maybe a degrading comment. It's not arsonist, it's carelessness, because nobody can tame the tongue. And that's these are number three. Number three, the tongue reveals the heart. And here's what James really getting to. The words are your single best indicator to the state of your heart. Remember back in James 1, we talked about how wild it'd be. It had a screen, an LED screen. You walked around and it just showed your every thought, how horrifying that would be. Well, our words are the closest thing we have to that screen. Your words are the clearest, best indicator of your heart. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, he said, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak." Right? And that's because he also says back in Luke 6:45, what you say flows from what's in your heart. That's right. It's down there somewhere, and eventually you're going to come out. You know, we also talk about when we say something we regret, right? When an angry word or something harsh or something condemning or judgmental, it comes out and we're embarrassed by it. What do? We go back, we apologize, we say, "I didn't really mean that. That wasn't me." Who in the world was it? I mean, if it was the real you. And there's no truth. It's just you're frustrated that you weren't able to filter it out. And just because you didn't successfully filter out doesn't mean it's still not in your heart, right? We're actually frustrated with others for not putting better filters on their mouth. But in James 6, James says the tongue is set on fire by the flames of hell itself. And that's just not a metaphor. It means that the power of sin, corruption, hell itself is at work in our heart and in manifesting from our tongues. Listen, the tongue is ultimately a heart problem, and that's what he hints to in verse 12, where it says, "Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear fig olives?" No. No matter how much a fig tree wants to produce olives, no matter how many books it reads on producing olives, no matter how much willpower that fig tree says, "I'm going to produce olives, I'm going to produce olives," it's not going to happen. Kind of like my golf game. As much as I want to be good at golf, as many YouTube videos I watch on golf, as many times I go, Mike can attest, I'm not good at golf. I can't will myself to be good at golf. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. James says your problem is your heart is full of salt water pond. It's undrinkable water. No amount of filtering, no matter deodorizing, will change that. The heart is deceitful above all things, what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah actually goes on to say that it's incurable. Look what Jesus says about the heart in Matthew 15:9. He says, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Okay, Jesus says that comes out. Now, what does our culture say? Our culture, our society says what? Oh, just follow your heart. Wherever your heart leads you, whatever your heart wants. Are you kidding me? I'm not following that. That's what your heart wants. Out of your heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, thief, theft, false witnesses, slander. I'm telling you, that's the last thing you want to follow. I mean, your heart is a mess. I'm sorry to tell you that this morning. It's a mess. And the worst that things that slip out of your mouth are just a fraction of the depravity down there. Think of it like this. Like, your words are the tip of the iceberg. And all those sinful, unkind, revealing, massive depravity of spirit is underneath. So your words indicate your heart. I mean, isn't that terrifying? Out of abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. For some of us, our words will reveal maybe that we're really not Christians. You know, we learn to act like a Christian on the outside. We learn to do all the Christian things. We get super involved in church. We read our Bibles. We act moral. We memorize verses. But what we said with our mouth in private indicates our heart never really changed. Again, this is where James is warning us to get to. like, if you were truly impacted by the gospel, even your speech is going to be different. Even the way you talk about things, even the way you talk about other people, it's going to be different. So ask yourself, how do you speak about others? Does it exude grace, mercy, and love? Or do your words sound like someone whose heart's been deprived? What do your words say? Does it say, I encountered the gospel? When you're frustrated, when you hit with adversity, does your words show grace and mercy? Well, James is saying today is the day we get to grow. Today is the day we identify these things and we grow. Okay, so how do we grow? How do we heal this? How do we change this? How do we change from salt water to fresh water? Well, I want us to see a biblical picture of how we do this in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, it is a beautiful picture. So God is calling Isaiah into ministry. He reveals himself to Isaiah in the splendor of his holiness. Isaiah sees the Lord. The Lord is sitting on his throne. Angels are all around saying, holy, holy, holy. I mean, it's actually amazing scene, right? And do you remember what Isaiah's reaction was to seeing this and being in the midst of this, seeing God sitting on the throne, seeing all the angels saying, holy, holy, holy. Look at his response, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and I said, and this is Isaiah, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost. What does he say? For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. I mean, isn't it amazing when Isaiah stands in the presence of God, the first thing he realizes is he's dirty. First thing he self-confession about is his lips. I mean, you want to think about God's holiness like one of those black lights that exposes all the germs and filth. I mean, they're like cool and disgusting all at the same time, right? And that's like God's holiness. And we stand in God's holiness. Our first and dirtiest place we see sin is around our mouths. Every outer word is going to be brought into judgment. So look at how Isaiah is healed. I want the worship team to come on up. Look at how Isaiah is healed. An angel takes a burning coal from the altar, touches Isaiah's mouth with it. But it's so hot, the angel himself can't touch the burning coal or injure him. But instead, it heals him. And so we got Pastor Mark in back. He's firing up the coals. So afterwards, we're going to... I'm kidding. But it shows the depravity of it. And so where we're getting to is, okay, so what do we need to do here? If you've been hurt by words, or maybe you have a history, like a lot of us do, of hurting others with words, we got to renew our heart. We got to renew our mind in the gospel. Have you noticed, if you ever spend a lot of time with somebody, you start talking like them, right? You start using words they use. You start mimicking them in ways, and you don't even realize it, but you start acting like them. This is what James is getting us to, is that we start spending more time with the Lord than we do with the world. We spend a lot of time with the world, and so we take on the world's characteristics. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We respond like the world. But James is saying if you truly encounter the gospel, then you're going to be spending time with him. And you're going to start talking like Jesus. You're going to start having patience like Jesus. You're going to start showing grace like Jesus. He's going to transform our hearts. Our words will become like Jesus. Our words will be healing. Our words will be life-giving. And if you're here, you've been hurt by words, what people say about you, what they talk about, we're going to dwell on the louder word of Jesus in the gospel. Think about it. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus, okay? He said, you're my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. He He says that though your sins were like scarlet, I've made them white as snow. That's what he said. Others may have told you you're not good enough. Or maybe you're not pretty enough. Maybe you're not smart enough. It's funny, growing up, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So we visited the thrift store, not because it was cool. It's just that's where we did our shopping. And to tell you how thrifty we were, I was a growing boy, and you know, boys, they grow quickly, right? So my mom would buy jeans for me, a couple sizes bigger than I needed. One, they were a good deal, and two, I'd grow into them, right? Okay, again, this was back in the day where, like, saggy jeans were not cool then. And so going to school, you go to school and, you know, I got saggy jeans on, who cares? Well, there's a lot of people that cared. It made for an easy target, right? And so I had a lot of voices telling me, you're not good enough. I had a lot of voices telling me, oh, you know, I was an easy target. And so there's others of you in here that you've been told, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough. And those voices we allow to be louder than the gospel. But what does the gospel say? The gospel says, before you were knitted together in your mother's womb, I knew you. This is the King of all creations. I loved you. Before you were even a thought of your mom and dad, I knew you. I loved you. I laid out the plan for you. The gospel also says, you are his masterpiece. That's who you are. He says if meeting man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I delight to deliver those who trust in me. You say, well, others have left me. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What you just heard was acceptance and healing and love. Significant lips in the